Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode 24, the World Series. In today's show, we talk about the NFL and the CFL. The NHL season has churned up a few surprises so far, and the World Series is ongoing. All that and much, much more next. Good day, eh? We are back for another exciting episode, or maybe it's better to just say we're back for another episode, and we've got a lot on our plate today. The NHL is in full swing. Football is as exciting as ever, both CFL and NFL, and teams are winning World Series games despite being thrown out at home. Here to talk about all of this, we have a great panel today. I'm Father Daryl in Watson, Saskatchewan. Joining me is Father Andrew in Cold Lake, Alberta. Hello, Father Andrew.
Hello, hello.
And do you see lots of snow on the ground over there yet?
Absolutely none.
Wow.
I still actually have some green grass in my backyard.
That's fantastic. And today I'm also very excited to welcome a couple of other priests onto the podcast. We have Father Corey in Malta, Montana. Hello, Father Corey.
How's it going?
It's going great. And tell us a bit about yourself. What kind of ministry are you involved in? And what sports do you like to follow?
Well, I kind of joke that I'm the Highline Priest. Of course, for those of you north of the U.S.-Canadian border, you might call me the Lowline Priest. I don't know. but, you know, live in a very small rural area, like my brother priests here with us. Just, you know, parish priest, parish administrator of a couple of parishes here along U.S. Highway 2. And just general parish ministry, as well as, you know, doing some, having fun on Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and calling it social ministry. So
that's so awesome. And of course, Father Corey and I, and our other new guest here, we met last week at a conference in Boston, a Catholic New Media Conference. So this is really cool to be able to have you on the podcast here today. What kind of sports do you like to follow?
Well, I'm pretty much a baseball fan is my big sport. I'll watch hockey and football, usually something to turn on just to have background noise. But I'm pretty much a baseball fan. I've always enjoyed the sport. And if there was ever a sport I actually wish I could have played, that would be it.
Oh, super. Because I hear there's actually something pretty big going on in baseball right around now.
Something like that. I don't know.
And that other laugh you hear in the background is Father Kyle in New Orleans. Hello, Father Kyle.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I need more caffeine.
Know that feeling. We're recording this on a Monday afternoon, by the way, for our listeners. So yeah, yes. Yeah, I think people sympathize with that. What kind of ministry are you involved in?
So I am the parochial vicar, the assistant in a suburban parish in the Archdiocese of New Orleans in Louisiana. So I'm the exact opposite end of the continent from the rest of you. And I'm also the chaplain at an all-girls Catholic high school. So I tell people that I have 515 teenage daughters.
That's awesome. What kind of sports do you like to follow?
I grew up playing basketball. And so I love basketball. For the last 10, 12 years, we have a professional basketball team here in New Orleans. I'm also a football fan, cannot be, especially when our team won the Super Bowl back in 2009, the New Orleans Saints. And I am also a soccer fan. I love soccer, both in the United States and throughout the world. So anytime I get the opportunity to watch a soccer game, I watch it.
So, that is very cool. So is that like the Major League Soccer? Is that one of the things?
Major League Soccer, yeah. And I also follow the English Premier League. I'm a fan of Fulham, which is a London team.
Okay.
That's not doing too well.
That's the same league as like Manchester United and all those?
Yep. All those, the other teams that everybody knows.
Very cool. So we have a little bit of variety on our podcast today. It's not just a bunch of football fans who are all fans of the same Saskatchewan team in the CFL. That's it. That's all we got.
What team?
Yeah, exactly, Father Andrew. So it's great that we have a bit of variety here. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
Glad to be here.
And so we have a bit of feedback to start with. And remember, you can always share your feedback with us either on Facebook or on Twitter or via email or even in the show notes. And all that information is over at thesportsfathers.com. We love to hear from you. And so we have a bit of feedback. Tiffany wrote us. And so this is someone else who was also at the Catholic New Media Conference in Boston, and she's from Buffalo. And her feedback today was to mention how depressing it is to follow the Buffalo Sabres right now. So the Sabres are dead last in the NHL. 2 wins, 10 losses, 1 overtime loss.
Yikes.
Yeah, not very good. But Tiffany mentioned that she loves the trade that went down just this past Sunday. And so that's where Buffalo sent left winger Thomas Vanek to the New York Islanders for a fellow left winger, Matt Molson. And I was looking a bit into this trade. I didn't realize this, but Molson is actually a 3-time 30-goal scorer in the NHL. And I hardly knew anything about this guy. I guess I just don't follow the Islanders nearly enough. I don't know if either of you, any of you guys do.
No, not at all.
I didn't even know that they existed.
New York Islanders. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Or that other team in New York, you know,
yeah, with the rest of the 20 of them.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not sure which is closer to Manhattan, the New York Islanders or the New Jersey Devils. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, all those teams centered down there. They won 4 Stanley Cups in the early 80s and haven't done much since, so oh well. Except for make strange trades, because they did this trade for Vanek and Molson. So the Islanders gave up Molson, who this season has 6 goals and 3 assists, for a guy who has 4 goals and 5 assists, so they both have 9 points. Vanek is a -5, however, and Molson is a +3. So at least in the early season, Molson's having a better year defensively. But New York Islanders also gave up 2 draft picks. This year, they gave up their 2014 first round pick, and then they gave up their 2015 second round pick. In addition to this guy who scored 30 goals, he got 15 goals in the shortened season last year. So it's a strange trade for the Islanders to make, which seems par for the course for them. And I can see why Tiffany from Buffalo loves this trade. Like, Buffalo's getting a great player and 2 very high draft picks from generally a pretty mediocre team. So they actually pick someone pretty good with those.
Wow.
Sounds like it.
Yes. She also mentioned that her and her husband love the Bills, of course, being in Buffalo.
Mm.
But they also follow the Steelers. I guess her husband's from Pittsburgh, so fair enough.
Steelers are probably the better bet right now, but I don't know if that's even by much. I don't think they're doing quite so hot this year either.
Yeah. They're not.
I don't think the Bills are dead last. They're not as bad as the Sabres, but
on the standings, I think that the Bills are doing better.
Oh, are they?
Oh, wow.
Then, yeah.
Of course, is that one of those that's not saying much type of doing better?
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if only we had some sort of a device to access some sort of inner network to get these
details.
The Bills
have 3 wins, 5 losses. The Steelers are 2 wins, 5 losses. So there's 1 game less.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Father Andrew. Someone's doing research around here.
Gosh, that's embarrassing. When was the last time the Steelers did that bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
Been a while. They don't always put on the strongest teams in the world, but they're usually at least competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said 2 and 5. Wow.
Yeah.
Good. Well, the Bills are 3 and 5, but they have, the Steelers have a game in hand, so.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tiffany, for that. And then Deacon Raymond also wrote on my Facebook page. He's following baseball like a lot of other people. He's picking the Red Sox to win in 7. We'll get to that. We'll get to our picks in a bit. And in football, he likes the Rams and he likes the Raiders. Hockey, he says, Canadian sport, never understood all the fights. Oh, dear.
I didn't either. Last week when we were in David Buster's, a fight broke out in one of the TVs. And I'm like, what's going on? Why are they fighting?
Exactly. Isn't it great?
I understand when it happens in baseball because the whole team goes. It's awesome.
Yeah, they empty it out and let's go.
I don't know. I have a hard time calling those real fights, though. I don't know. Okay. They are entertaining.
I won't disagree with you.
Yeah, there's actually a movement in hockey to possibly try to eliminate fighting, especially keeping in mind all the head injuries and concussions and all that stuff. So, you know, on the one hand, it's kind of a hard thing for them to be trying to stamp out concussions. And on the other hand, you only get a 5-minute penalty for fighting. Yeah. You're like pounding the other guy's head in, you know, so there seems to be a little bit of a
with a glove. Cool. Did they have to take the gloves off?
They take the gloves off and often the helmets come off. So they just pound on each other and the linesman let him go. Cause quite frankly, I agree with the linesman. I'm not jumping in between two hockey players.
No.
My dog agrees with me too. I don't know if you can hear her, but in the background she's barking. So. So anyway, thank you very much for the feedback. And again, you can send us your thoughts on anything in the world of sports. Go over to thesportsfathers.com and let us know. We'd love to hear from you and to read it on the air. I was going to say on the air, but I don't know. We're not really on the air, are we? You're recording into my hard drive, and then I'll upload it to the internet.
The ether? Well, the ether?
Well, some of us are using Wi-Fi. Does that count?
Hey, okay, on the air. Very good. Yeah. And we're back. So we've got baseball going on right now, so I hear. How much of the World Series have you guys been watching?
Not a bit.
I've been able to catch most of it, though. Other things going on, so it has to be the, you know, check the score on the cell phone routine, you know, all that goes.
Uh-huh.
But I've been trying to keep up on it. Of course, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so I'm pretty happy with having them in the World Series, though I kind of throw things at the TV at times when they do stupid things.
What team doesn't do stupid things?
Yeah, St. Louis seems to have do a pretty good job of it. But
I don't know. The Boston did something pretty stupid in the last game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice close series so far. Did you guys watch game 3? Or was that one of the ones you were following on your cell phone, especially the ninth inning?
That one I had to follow on the cell phone because I was at a dinner. We had a fundraiser dinner for our healthcare foundation here in town, so I had to go to that instead.
Oh, so you didn't watch the controversy in real time?
No, I had to watch the replays of it.
So just to set it up for those who maybe haven't seen this, and if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link to a YouTube clip in the show notes. But the ending to game 3 in Boston was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything quite like it. So Boston had tied the game 4-4. I think it was in the eighth inning. They tied the game, got a couple runs. And so they moved to the bottom of the ninth and St. Louis was at bat and there were runners on second and third. John Jay hits a grounder to second base, and Dustin Pedroia, the second baseman, throws out Molina, who is running home from third. And then the catcher threw to third to try to get that other runner out. And his throw was wild. And third baseman Will Middlebrooks dives, and he lands in the way of Craig, Alan Craig, the base runner. And so Craig trips his way over Middlebrooks on his way to home, and the throw was in time to tag him out. Except that because he was obstructed by the third baseman, the third base umpire judged that obstruction and he was awarded home plate. Cardinals win 5-4. I've never seen anything like this, like in a regular season, let alone a World Series game.
Yeah. Well, we don't think about it because it usually doesn't end the game causing the winning run to come home, but...
Yeah.
But it does happen at times. And I love the arguments. Oh, he didn't do it on purpose. As if that makes a difference. And besides, who when they're trying to get up is going to lift their legs straight up in the air? I kind of disagree with that. But again, I'm a St. Louis fan, so.
I would be pulling for Boston normally just because I'm originally an Astros fan. So therefore, de facto cannot be a Cardinals fan. but... Yeah, it definitely looked like he intended to lift up his legs and stop the guy from moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Certainly, it looks a little worse in slow motion, but even in the regular speed, yeah, he wasn't trying to get out of the way or anything like that.
Yeah, and for those who aren't quite familiar with baseball, it is one of the long-standing rules in baseball is the runner has the right to the base path. He should be have an unimpeded, be able to go unimpeded down the base path unless there's a play. In other words, if the opponent has the ball, defenseman has the ball. But this wasn't that case.
Right.
He was impeded from having the base path was the ruling. And that's why they did that's why they called it the way they did.
it was a very entertaining finish. I love listening to the play-by-play call on Fox. Because you can almost hear the incredulity that thank you the guy's voice, you know, he almost couldn't believe what he was seeing, because the base runner was so clearly thrown out, like,
oh yeah,
the throw beat him by a couple strides, and the umpire signals safe.
Yeah, what happened here?
I'm like, wow.
But of course, you know, as soon as the obstruction call was made, that that point the play was dead, you know, so right. It wasn't the throw home was useless at that point, but yeah. No one realized it until after they actually threw home and tagged, and oh, by the way, did it matter?
Yeah, well, and it's not like the umpires carry whistles like they do in hockey or football, so you can't just like blow the play dead and say hey.
could you imagine if they had whistles? Like trying to get it, especially the one in behind the catcher that has the mask, you know, trying to put the whistle through the mask.
Yeah. You have like a little electronic horn or something that they can hit instead, you know.
Yeah, little air horn.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Foul ball. Yeah. That would be, yeah. It's a different thing. So, all right. So now we got to get to the meat of this. So it's a tie series, 2-2, best of three coming up. What are your picks? Father Kyle, what are your picks to win this thing? And in how many games?
I'd say that Boston's going to take it in the final game.
Boston in seven. Father Andrew, just take a stab at it. You've probably
because you know that I haven't watched.
You've watched game. Probably about as much as me.
I think I've watched less than you because I only was just watching that clip just now.
Okay. All right. So I did see a little bit in that bar that we were at in Boston.
Wasn't the World Series. That was
That was playoffs. That was still
right. I haven't watched any baseball, period. So he's still ahead of me.
All right.
But as for me, I'm just because I know it'll make my cousins happy. So sorry, no offense. I'll go with Boston in seven.
Boston in seven, and Father Corey.
Well, of course, you know who I'm going to say. I have to say St. Louis, but you know, I will have to say in seven as well. It really is. They really are fairly closely matched teams. And if you know, like you look at game one where St. Louis, I think they spent more time fumbling the ball than they did trying to actually, you know, catch it and throw it. But, I'm going to have to go. I got to pick my St. Louis Cardinals in seven.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be all controversial then. How about that? I'll go six games for Boston. Again, you know, considering I haven't like watched any of it. And because when we do these picks, we've also got to have like a control group here. And so my dog Chloe's going to pick. And so I flip a coin and she picks. Oh, look at that. She picks Boston as well. Uh-oh. Now she isn't smart enough to pick the number of games.
Yeah.
But she does pick Boston as well. Heads was Boston, and that's what came up.
Oh,
if she did, I definitely want to have. You're gonna have to mail me some of that water from Saskatchewan.
Oh, it's pretty special. Yeah.
Well, I think Cardinal Dolan would be picking St. Louis. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he is.
From St. Louis originally? No, he's from Milwaukee. From St. Louis.
From St. Louis. Yeah, okay. He's from St. Louis. He was in Milwaukee.
That's right. And of course, yeah. I mean, he's also going to cheer for the Cardinals. What else is he going to do?
Of course.
Yes, that deserves a golf clap. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is rolling along just great. How about we talk about football? So, Father Kyle, you were making a very interesting observation earlier today about, you know, you like the Saints.
Yes.
The NFL Saints, who are 6-1, by the way.
The NFL Saints?
Yes. New Orleans Saints and
yes,
the NFL.
As opposed to the Southampton. Drew Brees, who else is good? Like, I mean, morally.
Drew Brees. No.
Philip Rivers, he's a good Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah, there.
Why do you call them good? Didn't you know that there's nobody good but God alone?
Oh man, fail. That would be a hashtag fail.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I was just going to make the observation that they're 6-1, and considering that you were noting that this week is All Saints Day, I thought there might be a correlation there. Obviously, there could, right?
Yeah. We would like to say that. I mean, there's a story. I don't know if y'all know like how this it was named, the Saints. But New Orleans is a city of jazz, the foundation of jazz, and there's a lot of gospel music as well. And during the early '60s, when the Saints they were starting to get the organization off the ground, and they were trying to choose a team and some colors, and a name and everything, a big popular song at the time was "When the Saints Go Marching In." Mm-hmm. So they decided they actually asked the Archbishop at the time, Archbishop Philip Hannon, if it would be okay, if they'd name the Saints. He's like, well, you do know that there are a lot of saints that were martyrs.
Yes.
And we definitely experienced the length of our team, we have definitely experienced suffering. definitely experienced a lot of suffering.
Man, the Saskatchewan should have named their team that.
So, but what I was trying to say is that I have an opportunity multiple times because the name of our team is the Saints to make evangelical correlations to the Saints team and to talk about the lives of the Saints and to talk about that there are connections that we can use to talk about Christ and talk about things from. So, I mean, St. Paul does it in sports, but you know, that there are even correlations that we can use to talk about Christ in sports teams. And it's just so easy because the name of our football team is the Saints. And I actually have to say in my homilies, when I talk about the Saints, I have to say I'm not talking about Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham. The ones in heaven.
Well, that's like St. Paul was talking about hockey in the Mass yesterday, this last Sunday. He's fought the good fight.
But then he goes to talk about a marathon.
He said he finished the race. How does that work with hockey?
He's mixing his metaphors, you know.
Well, he's just talking about, what is it, ice skating.
The race for the cup. Come on.
the ice skating in Ephesus or wherever he was at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Known for their great arenas.
Exactly. The ice. Yeah. That's really cool though. I hadn't thought about that. There are a lot of possibilities there.
Yep.
I mean,
go ahead.
I preach about the Rough Riders quite a bit, but yeah, I don't have any real connection like that. I just, you know, talk about them because I want to.
And now that we have our basketball team, the Hornets, what was the Hornets. They started in the late 80s in Charlotte. And then were moved to New Orleans probably 2002, 2003. And just this past year, they changed their name to the Pelicans. Because the state bird is the pelican, and actually our state flag is the image of the pelican injuring itself to feed its children.
Wow.
Which is that Christological image. And so we have this connection in our basketball team, because of the Pelicans and this Christ-like image of sacrificing itself for the sake of its children.
Wow. So, yeah, that was quite popular in the early church. That's really cool.
So, yeah, so there's all kinds of stuff in that. But just to talk about the Saints and Tiffany's Buffalo Bills, we definitely destroyed the Bills this past week. Drew Brees was able to pass for to 10 different receivers. Now, I didn't even know we had 10 possible different receivers.
Wow.
But 10 different, I mean, he spread the ball out, had 5 touchdown receptions, over 300 yards passing, and 2 of the touchdown receptions were by a rookie receiver, Kenny Stills, who still, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah.
We have all these great receivers, and he's thrown to the rookie. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was just, look at that. Good up, go up for Kenny Stills. So, yeah, it was. I didn't get to watch the game because I was at a youth conference, but I got to listen to some of it later.
Well, I see in the power rankings the Saints are in 3rd.
Yes, and our arch rivals, not in like history, but in embarrassment, are number 2. The Seattle Seahawks. Back 2 years ago, we played them in the first round of the playoffs, and they were 7-9 entering the playoffs. They were the best team in their division. That was really bad division that year, and they beat us.
Wow.
And it was embarrassing. Something embarrassing. So we're going to play them actually in the regular season. So hopefully we can beat them, so we don't have to play them in the playoffs.
Wow.
But Peyton Manning is 1, and I don't like that either, even though he's from New Orleans.
I'm pretty happy with him right now, but this is Denver territory, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's turned Denver around. He's a lot different than, what's his name, Tebow.
Yeah. Where did I see he was going that was planning on picking him up?
Oh, somebody's going to hire him?
Somebody was planning.
That didn't sound right, but.
There were rumors that Montreal was possibly looking at him because they have his CFL rights. Should he ever decide to come to the CFL?
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I saw an article about a week or so ago that some team was planning on picking him up or was thinking about picking him up anyways. Must have fell through or must have just been the typical press rumor.
Yeah. I mean, he was able to produce in Denver. That's what I find so strange. Is that he was able to get them through halfway through the playoffs. And then, I mean, granted, he's not Peyton Manning, and that was a good call for them. But the fact that he hasn't been able to find a team, I don't know what everybody's afraid of.
So they might get those something. Christian germs.
Yeah. Something like that. So Father Corey, you're a Broncos fan then?
A little bit. I follow them. Like I said, this is Broncos territory. You know, when you watch the local game, it's Denver. As I know I've commented to you before, Father Darrell, there are 3 CFL teams within the distance of 1 NFL team for me, but still, Denver's kind of the local team.
Sure. That sounds cool.
Yeah. So it's been kind of fun to watch, though the whole, I love the whole spectacle of, oh, Peyton's coming back to Indianapolis. Oh boy. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Oh man.
Well, I think the NFL this upcoming weekend is going to be a lot more exciting than the CFL. I'm sad to say. The CFL this weekend, basically after this last weekend, all of the standings are wrapped up for the season, but everyone's still got 1 game to go.
Mm. Can I inject something?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if for the sake of primarily, I would say, our any American listeners that we have, have we ever sort of explained like at least a couple major differences between the CFL and NFL?
We did talk a little bit about it, but it's not a bad idea to go over it again. So the CFL is a very similar game to the NFL. A few differences that change the game somewhat. In the CFL, the ball is a little bit bigger. The field is quite a bit bigger. It's quite a bit longer, mm-hmm. quite a bit wider. The end zone's 20 yards. The goalposts are at the front of the end zone, which can make it sometimes kind of interesting. Lots of padding on that post.
What?
But it's another 10 yards longer the field anyway for touchdowns.
So. Yeah, 20-yard end zone. Yeah, so I've actually seen some receivers using the goalpost as a pick play
to get that's open a great in the end idea.
Zone. But I've also seen some guys run full on into the post, and that's not a good idea. And they're three downs instead of four. But to offset that, the defense is a yard off of the ball. And the offense, besides the offensive line and, you know, maybe another player, pretty much everyone else in the offense can be in motion pre-snap. So so receivers can get a good running start onto their routes. And
gotcha.
It's very similar, but just a few tweaks to make it a little bit different.
That particular tweak sounds like the AFL, the Arena Football League. Mm-hmm. They do that, the running start in the Arena Football League. We have an arena football team here in New Orleans, and I don't like, see, you have the opposite analog with the, we have the Saints, the Pelicans, and then the Voodoo. So, yeah. So
a very Manichaean or something.
That sounds like a name for the title of the episode.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. No, so it's just different enough to be, you know, it's a slightly different game. And I think I like watching both of them on their own merits. Well,
see, a cousin of mine, he's from the States, and he says that, no, I like the four downs, he said, but I like the unpredictability of the Canadian game. Mm. And after he said that, I said to him, but it's the three downs that make the unpredictability. And he said, yeah, so I want my cake and to eat it too.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the CFL also can't even hope to pay anywhere near the same salaries that the NFL can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it almost seems a little bit more like a working man's league in some ways. Like a lot of the players I know at least in Saskatchewan, I'm pretty sure it was that case in Edmonton too. They stay in the city in the off season and they work at a different job basically. Mm-hmm. Like we've had some players who are also realtors in the off season or sold insurance or whatever. So it's a different feel to that.
It's kind of interesting. Growing up along the Canadian border, you know, we used to get the CFL games on the radio from a, you know, like a Regina or Winnipeg radio station. And so we could listen to it there. Now their ESPN is starting to broadcast several of them here. A couple other, the networks are starting to broadcast CFL games here in the States. And it's kind of interesting to see that starting to move south a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yeah, actually the CFL was in the United States in the early 90s.
Oh, really?
Didn't do that well. Actually, it did pretty good in Baltimore. But when the Ravens moved into Baltimore, the CFL basically left and moved up into Montreal. But other than that, I don't think the other teams did all that well.
Mm. Nope.
Like financially or standings wise or anything.
Just, sure. Well, Baltimore was the only good team, and they actually won the Grey Cup.
Yes. The only non-Canadian team to win a Grey Cup. Oh. Baltimore wow. Stallions, as they were called at the time.
Huh.
Actually, speaking of watching the CFL in the United States, I was kind of miffed that, you know, as we were in Boston at that pub on the Saturday night and the Red Sox were in their game six of the ALCS. Oddly enough, the TVs in the bar were tuned to the Red Sox and not to the Riders. The Riders had a game at the same time. I know. I was like, come on.
Well, they tried to make you feel at home. They had hockey on one TV.
They did. Yes, they did. It was the Bruins, though, so whatever.
Oh, of course, the local team.
Yeah. They did actually eventually get me the Wi-Fi password so I could at least follow online what was going on.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, we had fun in Boston anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, there were a lot of happy people at Mass the next morning because, you know, I was happy. The Riders had won. Everyone in Boston was really happy. So, hey.
Yeah. I was not happy, though, because I was coming. We had just lost to the New England Patriots the weekend before. So I was like, I was afraid, like, okay, what am I going to do? This is going to be really awkward if I say I'm a Saints fan. And on the plane ride back, I tell, you know, I was talking to whatever one of the TSA guys that was making sure that I didn't have a bomb or anything. And I was like, yeah, I'm from New Orleans. Yeah, we lost horribly, TL. He's like, yeah, that's okay. We're losing horribly right now. And I think they lost to like the Bengals or somebody. Embarrassing like that. Made me feel a lot better.
Yes. Well, speaking of hockey, I guess we weren't. But this is my fumbling attempt at a segue. Speaking of hockey. So local hockey actually out here is getting into gear. I'm actually getting ready to play. I think I got a game this upcoming weekend, although I'm totally out of shape. It's going to be terrible. Oh my goodness. I'm going to be so sore a week from today. But I saw my brother play yesterday in a neat kind of fun sort of a game against a bunch of former Montreal Canadiens players. So this was people like Steve Schutt, who was, you know, big in the 1970s. Carl Dykhouse, I didn't even realize he was out of the NHL. And then the one and only Guy Lafleur was coaching. Ooh. And they let my brother get a hat trick. I mean, my brother got a hat trick. I mean, so I've played in one of these games before. I've played in a game against a bunch of former Calgary Flames. And I mean, anytime we had the puck, it's because they were letting us have the puck. There was just no doubt about that. So same thing yesterday, you know, all these old retired players, anytime they let the other team have the puck, I mean, that's when they had the puck. There's just no negotiating about it. Although one of the Montreal Canadiens gave my brother a wicked elbow.
Man, I saw that.
Yeah, I'll post the video. I haven't recorded my iPhone video at the time and put that on YouTube. So I'll post a link to that. it was quite a nasty elbow, you know, kind of accident. I think it was more of just a reaction because my brother was getting by the guy, but I think he actually lost consciousness a little bit on the way down to the ice.
Oh, wow.
Like his gloves went flying and his stick went flying and yeah, got it back pretty quickly. So anyway, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So locally hockey is kicking into high gear, but of course the NHL has been ongoing for a good month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that the Toronto Maple Leafs are 8-4. They're doing really well this year. And I have to think that the Paulist sister or daughter of St. Paul's sister, Helena Burns, must be helping out. So she is the trash-talking, hockey-loving nun, as TSN called her up here. And she's been living in Chicago, or she was living in Chicago for the past few years. And of course, in that time, they won a couple of Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. And now she's in Toronto, and the Leafs are doing well. Better than the Blackhawks this year. You know, she's got some pull upstairs. So I just really wish she'd move to Calgary. That's all. Right, Father Andrew? Right, Father Andrew? Father Andrew, the Edmonton Oilers fan?
Yeah. No.
Rivalry.
We won't talk about the Oilers right now.
Well, we don't have much to talk about the Flames either.
Well, the thing is the Oilers have the talent, and once they actually click, there'll be some magic on the ice.
And the Flames don't really have,
they have
the talent, but they are clicking as a team. So actually, I mean, they're 5-4, I think. 5-4-1, something like that. They're not doing too bad. But a team that's doing amazing that I'm just really surprised at is Colorado.
They're actually 5-4-2, by the way.
5-4-2, okay. Well, Colorado. So Patrick Law, the former great goaltender, comes on as their head coach this season.
I actually know who he is.
Yeah. Fantastic goalie back in the day. So he's come on as the head coach. And since he started this season, they are 10-1.
Wow. That's amazing.
Like, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Now they're 10-1 starting this season. Like, what is going on? He's lit a fire under them.
Well, you know, again, you know, being in kind of Colorado territory, if you will, it's their team that they seem like they have really good years and then they have really bad years. And there really isn't a lot of in the middle, is there?
Yeah, they have a younger team and they've been rebuilding the last couple of years. Yeah. San Jose is also 10-1. I don't follow them, though. I don't live in California. I just like to go to Disneyland. And drink wine.
That works.
Yeah. The Western Canadian teams, not so hot. Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton are all at or near the bottom of the respective divisions. You mean the
Prairie teams? What about Vancouver?
Oh, yeah.
They're 8-4-1.
Yeah, okay.
Fourth in the West right now.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the Prairie teams. Now listen to all the hate mail we're going to get from all of our many listeners in Vancouver. Both of you. Sending an email. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Just remember last year, the Oilers and Flames had just as many wins as the Canucks in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. The Canucks got swept in the first round. I do have to admit though, I am surprised at how poorly Edmonton's been doing. Because like you say, Father Andrew, they've got the pieces in place as far as I can tell. Maybe goaltending, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Once they click, I think we'll see something. But I mean, then of course Nugent Hopkins was out with injuries. So was now Hall is out with injuries.
Right. And in Calgary, I'm rather excited to see what Brian Burke's going to do. Whether he's going to end up eventually as the GM there, or Feaster's going to stay as the GM, I don't know. But Brian Burke, of course, when he came into Toronto, his big thing there was to increase truculence and belligerence on the team. Basically, add a bunch of tough guys.
Wow.
And what? It actually kind of worked, because the team that's playing and doing so well right now was more or less built by him. So but he was fired before they could really blossom.
So we're going to win not by scoring more points, but by beating the living snot out of the opponent.
That's what hockey was about.
We'll score our points.
Well, Edmonton could have used one or two tough guys, which I guess they got so just to protect their young players.
Yeah, it might not be the safest thing to play that way, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, Father Corey, you're mentioning that Denver seems to be the more popular team around you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Denver or Colorado?
Well, same thing.
Colorado's the state, but you're talking about the Avalanche?
Yeah, the Avalanche.
Okay.
Yeah, well, basically all the Colorado teams are in Denver, so you could use the two interchangeably.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's basically it depends on what part of Montana you're in, because if you go to the eastern end of the state, which is basically Little North Dakota, but that's another story, everybody's Minnesota fans because it's closer to the Twin Cities. If you like the central part and the southern part of the state is Colorado fans because it's closer to Denver, but then you get over in the mountains and everybody's Seattle fans because it's closer to Seattle. So it's really depends on where you're from, depends on what teams you follow, or at least what teams you admit you follow.
That's sometimes the bigger thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's away from anything.
Yeah. Well, I figured it out. I'm pretty much equidistant from the Twin Cities, Denver, and Seattle. But like I said, you know, there's Calgary, Edmonton, and Regina are closer than any of those three cities.
Yep.
So close to, yeah, perfection. No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can look across Cold Lake and see Saskatchewan. I'm not sure about perfection, but anyway.
Yeah, we're here anyway. I don't know.
I'm on the best side of the lake.
And Father Kyle, for hockey fans in your area, first of all, I don't know how many there are.
There's children of what we Southerners term as Yankees. There's children of people who grew up in the North and came to the South, and so they followed hockey, and so their children follow hockey. So okay. We do have people like that. And then you have sports lovers who, you know, went to a hockey game. We had a minor hockey team here in New Orleans for about 4 years.
Okay.
And called the New Orleans Brass. But they didn't have enough money. I don't even know how well they did. Yeah. But they didn't have enough money for it to be sustainable. So there is hockey leagues here in Louisiana, but they're with roller skates.
Okay, yeah.
do it with roller skates and a ball instead of a puck.
A lot cheaper than building an ice plant.
Just but, you a little know, bit.
There's the Dallas Stars, so there's something.
Yeah, and you have the Tampa Bay has a team. If you want to go farther south than that,
Tampa Bay, then there's one in Miami right. too.
Yeah,
well, that's but right. aren't those other teams for the Snowbirds?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even Dallas is kind of a lot of people in Dallas are implants that moved into Dallas. So, yeah. You know, I don't know.
Maybe all the Dallas fans are the Minnesota fans who followed them south.
Yeah, I like their new jerseys. They got new jerseys this year. They look very similar to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Maybe that's why I like them.
He's going to try to put that as much as he can.
Actually, you know what? They look a little more similar to the green that was the old Minnesota North Stars, too.
That's probably what they're trying to go back to.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever listen to any previous episodes of the Sports Fathers before you signed on today?
Yeah, I've been on heard a couple. Yeah.
That's all he talks about is the Rough Riders.
Who, me? Well, I kind of figured that when he showed up on Friday to go to the pub and he was wearing a Rough Riders jersey.
So there was a tweet up in Boston for this new media conference. And yeah, part of me, I wore my Riders jersey and clerics through downtown Boston, just seeing if I would run into someone from Saskatchewan. Because usually when I do that in a foreign city, that's exactly what happens. I run into someone from Saskatchewan. Didn't happen this time, though.
It happened in Rome?
Didn't happen in Rome. No, that's two. Okay, my sample size isn't that big, admittedly. It happened in Disneyland. statistics. I didn't like statistics. Anyway. Super. Well, that's, I think we've had a lot of fun talking about this. I've had a lot of fun talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Father Kyle, where can people find you on the interwebs?
I am at Colonel for God, Colonel, as you would call someone who is in the military. Colonel for God, that's my Twitter handle and my Instagram username. You can find me at reverencedreading.com, write a blog, and that's about it.
Super. And Father Corey, where can they find you?
Well, my blog, where usually I just post my homilies, is frcorey.org. And then my Twitter handle is frcoreystika, last name spelled STICHA. Facebook is the same. Pretty much everything is frcoreystika. But those are the easiest places to find me.
Super. And I'll put some links to that in the show notes as well over at thesportsfathers.com, which is, of course, where you can find both myself and Father Andrew. You can get in touch with us there.
Just out of curiosity, when you post your homilies and stuff online, are you more helpful than Father Daryl and post it like, you know, a day or two before the weekend?
No. I record them live as they're given.
Oh, that's not helpful.
No.
I have to wait 3 years now.
I've had other priests say that too. Hey, you should post them earlier so we can copy. No.
Yeah.
I have had friends that have done that to other friends. Dude, your homily is good. Take it.
Really? Wow.
At least they were honest about it to someone.
I guess. Yes. I mean, it wouldn't work so well for me, you know, as I was growing up in Montana.
Yeah. Well, you just change it to Saskatchewan. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that much different.
As I was cheering for the Saints this weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we invite everyone to have a great next couple of weeks until we record again. Have fun watching the World Series and everything else. And we'll catch you next time. Keep fit and have fun.
Bye.
Take care and God bless.
Adios.